Prescriptions for Health with Dr. Len and Vicky Saputo, Mondays at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Broadcast out of New York City, you're listening to Prescriptions for Health on Monday, July 25th, 2011. I'm Dr. Len Saputo.
And I'm registered nurse Vicky Saputo. Thank you for joining us on our weekly Prescriptions for Health show on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com every Monday live from 3 to 4 Eastern Standard Time and from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And please note that our shows will also be archived on DrSaputo.com.
Today you hear Vicky's 2020 health tips at 20 after the hour and 20 to the hour. And we have a great show for you today. It's going to include: is it safe to go to a training hospital for your treatment?
And what's more important for a medical student, to have communication skills or a 4-point grade average?
And is chiropractic really a good idea for headaches?
And can an osteoporosis drug kill the flu virus? And much more. Plus, if you want to join in our conversation and have questions about our topics, give us a call at 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888.
A lot of fours and eights, huh? Okay. So what happened in Fukushima?
Have you even noticed about the largest disaster of all time in recorded history is being suppressed in the news? I mean, if you're interested in learning the truth about really what's going on, DrSaputo.com has a lot about it. Plus, you know, this is pretty amazing. I think we should touch on it a little bit anyway, because March the 11th, 2011, it was actually the worst disaster of all time, and yet we don't hear very much about it anymore. So what do you think? Why? Why are they withholding information and covering it up?
Well, they're suppressing it. I mean, they don't want the truth out there. God knows why. I mean, it makes them look bad politically, and certainly they should look bad politically. And yet what we have here is maybe the worst recorded, or the worst disaster in recorded history. Well, and everybody's kind of low-keying it, saying, well, nothing seems to be happening yet. When you look at the magnitude of what this means, it's stunning. We've got 6 nuclear reactors there that no one can tend to.
That melted down, and 3 of them actually exploded.
And those were probably nuclear explosions. They were small, mild nuclear explosions.
But still, they exploded.
Well, yeah, but when you talk about a nuclear explosion, you're talking about something more than just hydrogen. So this is something that has a huge, huge impact in terms of destruction. And how do you prevent meltdown after you've had a nuclear explosion? And the fact that it's leaking into water, into the Pacific Ocean, and there's no way to stop it.
And all of our oceans are interconnected. Eventually, it's going to hit all the oceans in the entire globe.
No question. So we may be looking at low-dose radiation exposure on all sea life that exists, and whatever we do to consume that sea life is going to affect us. We've got a global experiment going on that's way bigger than what happened in Chernobyl. When you look at Chernobyl and the fact that it took the Russians 500,000 people to clean up that mess.
And that was just one.
One. And all those 500,000 people were exposed to dangerous amounts of radiation. So you're looking at something that made them sick or killed them early. And that was only to contain it for God knows how long, because that's going to be a problem for thousands of years to come. How do you contain that?
And not only that, you know, all these rods that are melting down, they're not disposable. They don't have a way to dispose of them. And there's
What Vicky's saying here is that when you have spent rods, meaning ones that aren't used anymore, they're stored, and there are tons and tons of material there that are in the sites with no place to go. So the amount of radiation that's coming out of that place is mind-boggling.
And the other thing is, too, is, you know, just recently it was in the news that it was 1,000 to 1,500 cattle were sent all over Japan. Well, they like exported them to Okinawa and so all over their nation.
Well, that's just a small little tip
so,
of the iceberg.
I know, but to just show that they're doing that, I guess it's economics. They didn't want to throw out the cows, you know?
Well, business is business around the world. No question about that.
Well, the thing that's really scary to me, too, is the fact that the United States has 55 nuclear plants, and a lot of them are over 40 years old, and there's no place to get rid of them. And plus, I don't know who thought up these plans to put them on earthquake faults. That sounds like the craziest thing in the... How could anybody come up with that and approve something like that?
Well, you see, business is business, Vicki. People don't have long-term vision when they're out to try and make a buck. And so what you have is things happening that make no sense from the point of view of sustainability. And then you have to live with the consequences. So we've got a tiger by the tail here that's been withheld from the news. If you notice, about a month after the event occurred, it wasn't any place. What news do you hear coming out of Japan now?
The soccer team, the women's soccer.
The women's soccer team won the world championship. That's in the headlines. The Fukushima disaster should be in the headlines for years to come, because we're going to learn a lot about what radiation poisoning does, at least in water. And we've got to do things to protect ourselves, because now our food, water, and air is being contaminated on a daily basis, okay, with all the things that we're seeing that come from this Fukushima disaster. We should be doing things to protect ourselves. And you can't do everything if the amount is too great.
But there's many oxidants and things, I guess, that would be helpful to take, huh?
It could be, yes. I think the first thing to do is build up your own antioxidant protection. And the way you do that is how? Eat a healthy diet. You exercise on a regular basis as much as you can to build up as many antioxidants that your body produces on its own.
And antioxidants are things like vitamin C and coenzyme Q10 and alpha lipoic acid.
Sure.
You know, also like in your diet, eating a lot of berries is a really healthy food.
Probably the most powerful thing you can do, exercise. And you might wonder, how does exercise affect antioxidant levels?
Especially if you're inhaling radiation.
Well, yeah, but it's not about the way that it gets into your body. It's the fact that when your body exercises itself hard, it produces a lot of free radicals. And those free radicals are very dangerous to the body. So there's a problem that comes up here. And that's that the body has to then learn to protect itself against those high levels of free radicals that are formed during exercise. And it does that with its own endogenous system that makes antioxidants. That's what makes the best antioxidant protection you can get, is exercise, followed by diet. And if we do that, we'll have much more protection than we would if we didn't.
And then just to build up our body so that we do have a good immune system, you know, with getting enough sleep and reducing our stress also.
All those things are related to free radical production, because what we're looking at is inflammation. And there's basically a balance between your antioxidants and the amount of radiation that you're exposed to when we're talking about radiation poisoning. So if you're taking in more antioxidants, you're going to turn off to some extent what you produce yourself, because there's going to be adequate amounts there. But if there's a radiation exposure, you need to do all that you can, which means eat the healthy diet with a lot of antioxidants, a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables. You should also do what you can to exercise so that your body makes its own antioxidants, and you may have to take tons of things like vitamin C. We know from some experiments that were done years ago that if you take rats and you poison them with lethal doses of radiation, they all die. But if you preload them with 2 or 3 grams of vitamin C, most of them don't. And it's a simple relationship between your antioxidant protection and radiation exposure.
And God forbid that we do have the radiation exposure, it does come to us. What another good thing to do is to have a water filter with reverse osmosis and something that goes through the minerals.
Well, it will put minerals back in it. I think your most important source of minerals is from food, but you don't want to discount what's in water as well. And reverse osmosis gets the cesium out, okay, which is one of the big things that's in particulate form that's causing the damage to the planet. There is no question in my mind at all that we have a serious disaster that is not controllable, that's going to be ongoing for centuries to come. Because the half-life of these radioactive materials is a very, very long time.
You know what I was wondering? I noticed that after the Fukushima disaster that we had some pretty big rainstorms in Northern California anyway.
Makes you wonder what happened in terms of affecting weather.
But it also made me think, you know, this is probably acid rain. I remember when it was happening, and I was thinking that because, you know, it only didn't take very long for the tsunami and the so forth to get to our coast. And so when it was raining like that, I thought, isn't it interesting that nobody's saying stay inside or, you know?
Well, you don't really know what happened. And the people that we know who measured radiation levels didn't come up with any radiation levels in the air.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't the problem. The problem is the water. Now, a tsunami has a shock wave that comes across in a matter of just, you know, a bunch of hours, maybe half a day or a day. But when you're talking about the diffusion, okay, of radioactive material that's spewing out of a plant, okay, or out of many plants in Fukushima, you're talking about something that may take months to equilibrate around the planet. And at that time, you're going to see a shift in the ecological balance of how things works out, because there's a big issue here in terms of ongoing radiation for a long time, and the information is being suppressed.
Well, it's not making me want to eat fish.
Well, it's not making you want to drink water. It's not making you want to be eating some of the food that is going to be a problem with radiation fallout with cesium. There are lots of problems we're going to learn about. Chernobyl was a mini version of what happened in Fukushima, and people just are not paying attention to it.
Well, you
it's
know,
being
now,
ignored.
Now that a lot of these plants are expiring, so to speak, because they've been around for so long, maybe it's time to think of alternative energy sources.
Well, I don't think that it's smart to use this kind of resource at all. And I think that in Japan, they're talking about shutting down all of their nuclear reactors.
Yeah.
In
I
this
mean,
country,
is it,
we
is
should
it worth
too.
It to destroy the whole planet?
Well, look what happened in the Midwest, you know, with a nuclear plant there that looks like an island now and is surrounded. And there's lots of threats of that thing having a problem as well. And we must have dozens of nuclear plants in this country. You cannot protect a nuclear plant from natural disasters. It just, you can't do it because they're way too massive in terms of the amount of energy and power that they have.
Well,
so we just don't build them.
They're supposed to be fail safe. They're supposed to have backups, like with six different backups, but all of them failed in Japan.
So that's kind of another interesting story. It makes you wonder, how the hell could all those backups fail? Makes me worried. Anyway, you're listening to Prescriptions for Health. I'm Dr. Len Sabuda here with Nurse Vicki. The number is 888-874-4888. If you have a question about your health or you want to join our conversation, give us a call.
You know, finally, there are some experts in healthcare and patient safety and research that have called for changes in the U.S. residency programs. These are for medical residents to protect patients from errors, because resident fatigue has been shown to contribute to millions of errors, and they want to end these dangerous long work hours. So what are the changes, and are they really going to make
a
difference?
This is a joke. You know, who would think that it's a good idea to work doctors who are taking care of patients for real long periods of time?
Like 36 hours in
a
stretch.
That's what I used to do when I went through my training. And you were on for 36 hours and off for 12 for months at a time. That's just insanity, because what that does is it delivers bad patient care. If you had a choice of taking a doctor who's only been working 2 or 3 hours or a doctor who's been working 34 hours, what would you pick? It doesn't take, you know, anybody could figure that out.
So this big thing now is that they want to shift it to less than 16-hour shifts for the
insanity.
New residents.
I mean, what's the point?
When I used to work as a nurse in the hospital, I mean, at the end of an 8-hour shift, I was exhausted. And then I started hearing later on, a few years later, that nurses were working sometimes 10 shifts. And then it went up to, 10 hours. And then it went up to 12 hours. It's like, I don't think I could have done that. I was just exhausted after 8. And to think that these young ones are working 16 hours, but the older doctors, the older residents, they can do it. They can work longer hours. So they can work up to 28.
Why is that? Listen, the whole thing.
They recommended this in 2009, and they haven't adhered to it in any way.
Look, in 1970, I led a strike at Highland Hospital in Oakland for the very same thing. And we were out for 3 weeks. And what did we learn from that? That it is possible to influence what the working conditions and wages are for people that are interns and residents. It is possible to do, because why? They can't function without you.
But I thought you got a lot of resistance from the doctors.
A ton of resistance from them. They threatened to make sure that I wouldn't get out of my internal medicine residency.
Well, you know what I thought? I thought it was sort of like hazing in a fraternity.
I mean, hazing.
That these doctors had already had gone through their residency training and so forth and, so to speak, graduated, that they were like, well, we had to do it, so you can do it.
Well, that may be the moronic attitude that some doctors take, but it is exactly that. If they're saying you have to be tough and have to be able to work for long hours and be successful at it, that's nonsense. That's not true except in very rare occasions. And as practicing doctors, you don't see very many doctors working schedules like that, if any. So what's it about then? It's about money.
They even talk about it in this article.
It's very cheap labor. If you just tried to replace one surgical resident, okay, through his or her training, and replace that with a physician's assistant, over the period of their training, that would cost about $1.5 million per resident. That's a lot of money. If you got 100 residents in a program like that, you're talking about millions of dollars. Nobody wants to try and recover from that kind of a challenge because it's just too much.
And the people that are wanting them to work all these hours are thinking that experience is so important that they need this experience.
Well,
you think that experience doesn't overcome your need for sleep, and it's dangerous for the patients. Look at all the deaths. And it's abuse to the patients.
It's abuse to the residents and the interns, too. It's just abusive, period.
There are millions of hospital errors, and that's what this is contributing to. If you've got somebody sleepy, they're going to be much more apt to make a mistake. I mean, just think about Gary Knowles' movie, you know, Death by Medicine.
Absolutely.
And a lot of that is from residents that are learning. And the other thing is that many of these doctors are moonlighting on the side. I don't know how they can do it.
Well, they have to be able to support their families, who they, by the way, don't know very well because they're not there to raise them. I remember when I was going through my training, I don't blame my ex-wife at all for saying that you're not a family person. You're not around for the kids.
We don't take picnics.
We didn't do any of that because when you're on for 36 hours and off for 12, the best you can do is try to get a good night's sleep when you get home.
And probably a little grumpy.
Well, you can be, yeah. I mean, I think we should be training doctors in a way where they are revered as really special people who are going to be taking care of us, our parents, and our children.
Well,
we want them to have that attitude.
In the 60s, when the doctors came on the floor, we'd stand up.
Yeah, well, that's revering. Huh? That's fear. That's just fear. What they should be is honored for that, and they should know how to work, no question about that, and maybe a 10 or a 12-hour day, maybe sometimes. But doctors are human beings, too. Don't they need to take vacations? Don't they need to exercise? Don't they need adequate sleep? You need to walk your talk. When you finish your training program, if you follow the way you were treated, you're going to be giving yourself and your patients bad advice.
Well, plus, I mean, it's amazing that the residents can even drive home. They're probably going to fall asleep.
Well, there are more accidents. You also find that there are more suicides. There are more alcoholics, more people addicted to drug in the medical profession than almost any other. So you're looking at lots of stresses that are put on these young people as they're going through their training, and they're very vulnerable. What we want is to have doctors who are caring and loving, who can listen to you and care about you, rather than have one hand on the door as soon as they have talked to you for about 30 seconds because they want to get the job done and go on to do the next one because they don't want to be overworked any more than they already are. We need to come to our senses. Hospital economics is the issue behind what's causing this. And there are a few doctors who are in training, who have finished their training, who think that because they went through it, others should go through it. That's a bunch of baloney. And we need to do something to change that whole attitude so we can create healers who want to be with you and listen and take care of you and support you rather than just hand out some kind of prescription for something. There's nothing like being very smart and having no people skills.
We've been talking about this for years and trying to advocate this on the radio and Prescriptions for Health. And it's also in your book, A Return to Healing, which you totally cover this topic. But it's nice to know that finally some of these experts in the healthcare and patient safety and research programs are calling for changes in these residency programs. And hopefully they'll do a better job than what's happened since 2009. Because 2009, they tried it, but it hasn't worked yet.
Well, it hasn't worked since 1970, so it's been 4 years since I got involved with it. Anyway, it's time for your 2020 tip. You're listening to Prescriptions for Health. I'm Dr. Len Saputo here with Nurse Vicki. The number is 888-874-4888. If you have a question about your health or if you want to enter our conversation, give us a call.
Part of living a health... People are putting off things that bring them joy, and all of this is a part of living a healthy lifestyle. And I think it's, you know, it's important for our health to be balanced in everything that we do in our life. So just these people that are putting things off that bring them joy because they haven't thought about it and they don't have it on their schedule and they didn't know that it was coming, or they're too rigid to depart from their routine. I'll tell you one thing is, once you have kids or grandchildren or you're on call, you learn to be flexible.
I'll say.
Also, ask yourself how many women out there will eat at home because their husband didn't suggest going out to dinner until after something had been thawed. Like, does the word refrigeration mean nothing to you? And how often have your kids dropped in to talk and then sat in silence while you watched your favorite TV show? I mean, that's what DVRs and TiVos are for. So we need to prioritize. And when our kids want to be with us, we don't want to be kicking ourselves in the butt years later wishing that we had done that.
Well, that's the cat, the cradle and the silver spoon, right? Very sorry.
Well, a friend told me the other day that she can't count the times that she called her sister and said, how about going to lunch in a half hour? And our sister would just sort of gas up and stammer, I can't. I have clothes on the line and my hair's dirty. And I wish I'd known yesterday. And it looks like rain. And then she said her favorite one was when her sister would say, it's Monday.
Oh, it's Monday.
It's Monday. But anyhow, she died a few days ago and they never did have that lunch together. And because we cram so much into our lives, we almost schedule our headaches. I mean, we live on a sparse diet of promises and that we make to ourselves when all the conditions are perfect. So we have to wait until everything's perfect. Well, we'll go back and visit the grandparents when we get Stevie toilet trained. Or we'll entertain when we replace the living room carpet. Or we'll go to a second honeymoon when we get two more kids out of college. You know, life has a way of accelerating as we get older. You and I have definitely noticed that. And the days get shorter, and the list of promises to ourselves gets longer. But one morning, we wake up, and all we have to show for our lives is this litany of, I'm going to, I plan on, someday, when things are settled down a bit. And everybody needs to seize the moment. And if you have you ever known anybody with a friend that's open to adventure and available for trips? I mean, what a fun thing to have a friend like this that keeps an open mind on new ideas, and her enthusiasm or his enthusiasm for life is contagious. I mean, you talk with him or her for like 5 minutes and you're ready to trade your bad feet for a pair of rollerblades and and skip an elevator for a bungee cord. You know, so much of that really is psychological. And somebody told me the other day that her lips hadn't touched ice cream in 10 years.
Oh, my gosh.
And she loves ice cream. And she said that she might as well apply it directly to her stomach with a spatula and eliminate the digestive process.
Oh, geez.
So the other day, she said she had to confess that she stopped the car and she bought a triple decker. And she told me if her car had hit an iceberg on the way home, that she would have died happy.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, a healthy lifestyle doesn't mean that we can't cheat our healthy diet on occasion. It's
well,
just,
you have to live, too.
Yeah.
I mean, life is about experiencing the pleasures in it as well. And not all of them are
healthy. Moderation.
Yeah.
So now go on and have a nice day. Do something you want to do, not something that's on your should-do list. And if you were going to die soon and you only had one phone call you could make, Who would you call and what would you say and why are you waiting? You know, I had a friend from high school that I was always going to call and I never did. And then the other day her name was in the obituary, so we never had that chat. My next 2020 tip at 22 the hour, I have a sweet little poem on slowing down to smell the roses.
Oh, that's good. See, a lot of the time what we do is we spend our time doing things rather than being in the moment and experiencing life. And a lot of what you're talking about is exactly that. It's being present. It's being able to notice how life is unfolding and to experience it as deeply as you can. That's beautiful. If we go through life just making money and doing what we're supposed to do, we really, when we're done, what will our epitaph say? Here's a guy or a person or a woman that got their gold watch at age 65, retired, went out to the golf course or did the things that people do after that when they retire from work or jobs they don't like. It's about being engaged and fully engaged and present and being able to take a few risks about having a good time and being there for a friend or being there for yourself or a loved one. That's more about what life should be about. You're listening to Prescriptions for Health. I'm Dr. Len Saputo here with Nurse Vicki. The number is 888-874-4888. That's 874-4888.
Many doctors are sucked into HMO medicine. They're too busy and they're too hurried, but a lot of medical schools are catching on by prioritizing communication and social skills and emphasizing being a team player and making bedside manner a priority and problem solving more important than a 4-point grade admission to medical school.
Yeah, well, what good does it do to know everything and be a dud from the point of view of communicating that information and listening to people and being there for them?
Well, that's one of the things why your patients love you so much, because you take the time to really listen to them and tell them, and you let them phone you sometimes at home, and you even have been known to pray with them. And people come from all over the country to see you outside of their health insurance plans. And you talk about this also in A Return to Healing, and you do the healing circles, which you're going to start teaching now at some of the different
universities.
Colleges.
Yeah, yes. We're going to be at JFK University, probably, they already are at California Institute of Integral Studies, and we're also working some with San Francisco State, and there'll be others where we teach this whole premise, because what happens is we get so much into the doing to patients rather than being with. And I hate to tell you young doctors out there, it's not what you know so much, it's how you use it and how you relate to people. And it's not like information isn't important, it is. But where are you getting your information? Are you sure that the facts that you have in your repertoire are the facts that are correct facts? It's not about just one size fits all. It's not one recipe that fixes one condition. It's not about drugs fixing the underlying problem of what's going on. You've got to deal with what went wrong.
And be open-minded.
Very open-minded about how you're going to integrate all these things into someone's life. If somebody's having a hard time in life, their body is going to reflect what's wrong by developing some kind of dysfunction. It's the way it works. Because physical disease is the body's way of expressing psycho-spiritual dysfunction. That's a big statement to make. And that's what I've noticed over 40 years of medicine, that it's not the penicillin or digitalis or the chemotherapy or the drugs used for heart failure that are the big thing. Yes, you save some lives that way, but you will save many more lives and bring meaning and purpose to those lives if you will listen and be present and support and care. It's about, and that's why we do this thing called the healing circle, where we bring all your doctors or healthcare practitioners together to try and support your healing process. It's really important that you be with people and listen. So when we bring these people together for 2 hours, which we do on Friday afternoons from 3:30 to 5:30, it's a beautiful thing to watch how they how the stories unfold and how they relate to why things went wrong with their health. And if you really are present, some amazing things unfold in terms of people being able to open up their eyes and see what's happening. And we don't charge for that. Another big point, that we're interested in them. It's not their money we're after. It's about them. So we do those in Northern California here, and I have found that to be a very, very exciting part of how I deliver medicine and how my colleagues deliver medicine at the Health Medicine Center, which is where I practice in Walnut Creek. So those are the that's what happens when we're looking at trying to heal people rather than just use drugs to try to solve their problems.
One of the things they're trying to help the doctors in these programs is to be team players. And I wish that they would include complementary alternative medicine in their teams like you do with the healing circles.
Well, it's kind of naive arrogance to eliminate it. I mean, we haven't exactly solved the epidemic of chronic diseases that we have. There is no way we've even come close.
Well, also, you know, they're trying to tell people about how to be tactful and that's this sort of thing. Maybe we can touch some more on these multiple mini interviews.
We're
going
to come back to that
break.
In just a minute. We've got a station break coming up. You're listening to Prescriptions for Health. I'm Dr. Vince Woodier. There's Vicki. The number is 888-874-4888. We'll be right back.
Radio Network, your voice for independent views.
Is someone driving you crazy? Do you have a cheating boyfriend or girlfriend? An ex you can't let go of? An obnoxious boss? Adult kids who won't listen? I'm Hollis Polk, and I fix relationship problems. Your life, your relationship with Hollis Polk offers you practical solutions for all sorts of people problems. Listen and call in Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific, or download the podcast at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com.
You're listening to Bhavani, and I'd like to welcome you every Wednesday on the Progressive Radio Network to join me for my show called I Eat Green, where every Wednesday we will talk about eating healthy and eating sustainably for our planet. So join me every Wednesday from 5 to 6.
This is Founder B. Tay from Success Power Talk. You can listen live to me every Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the very best success strategies for your life, bringing you sumptuous, exciting topics, expert guests, and panelists from all over. You will not want to miss. Email me at coach@tateworks.com if you have questions you want read on the air. If you missed any past shows, go to progressiveradionetwork.com/archives to find them. Always take the best and leave the rest. Success Power Talks, every Saturday, 4 p.m. on Progressive Radio Network.
Want to listen to your favorite PRN show in your car or when you're out for a jog? You can download any show on the archives at any time. Visit the archives at progressiveradionetwork.com/archives. We can also be found in the iTunes store under Progressive Radio Network. All our archives are free, so go ahead and check them out. Thanks for listening to the Progressive Radio Network. Stay tuned to stay informed.
Listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
You're listening to Prescriptions for Health. I'm Dr. Len Saputo here with Nurse Vicki. The number is 888-874-4888. That's 874-4888.
So, some of the medical school boards are getting the people that are applying to go to medical school to do these tests to find out if they're, you know, if they're tough enough to be doctors and if they're good listeners and if they have better good enough communication skills.
Well, what we used to look at was something called an MCAT test. We went in and we did all kinds of things that showed our academic skills. And based on that and our grade point average for the most part, in a little tiny interview, it was decided whether or not you'd be admitted to medical school. And now what schools are doing is they're trying to see if you have some kind of personality attached to that brain that knows everything. Because if you don't, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to have doctors who know a lot, who very often are defensive, don't explain things well, irritate patients because they take this godlike attitude that says, I'm the doctor and I know the material and you don't, so therefore you do what I say.
And then the patients want to sue him because they don't like him.
There are a lot of lawsuits that follow that.
And so, also, a lot of the schools, I wanted to mention a few of the schools that are adapting this because I think it's impressive. Stanford, UC Berkeley, UCLA, University of Cincinnati, Virginia Tech.
Yeah,
and there's
13
universities in Canada that are also doing this. And they're ethical surprise questions and they want the doctors to have like a quick answer.
Well, they see how they think on their feet and what happens when they're stumped by something. Will they get angry because they don't know the answer? Will they get defensive? Will they clam up?
Are they overly opinionated?
Yeah, I think it's important that doctors look at their patients as people, not patients, so that there's a relationship there that's one-on-one, that's not a hierarchy of, I know this, so therefore I will tell you what to do. The job of a doctor is to be a teacher, dottore, to teach. And that's what our job is. I look at myself as someone who is employed by a person who's coming to me for advice. And it doesn't mean that the advice I give them is the advice they're going to take. So I look at my job as to inform them about what I know, see how they take to it, and then see what we're going to do, because I'm not making decisions about what my patients do. They are making those decisions based on how they feel, what they already knew before they came in, what they read on the internet, what other doctors told them, but they're interested in what I know too. So then the objective should be, how do we work together?
As a team.
Exactly, as a team. And we have to be sure that we're not taking an arrogant, authoritative position, because let's face it, there are a lot of things about the way we practice healthcare that are wrong. We make all kinds of mistakes about making assumptions about what the correct treatment is.
And many doctors are closed-minded, too, about looking at alternatives and working with their patients.
Well,
they just want to do one way, you know, the way that
they do what they know that they were trained in. And a lot of them get defensive if you try to suggest something they don't know about. Because, let's face it, doctors have this idea that they're supposed to know everything. So when a patient asks you a question about something you don't know the answer, the right thing to do is say, I don't know.
Well,
rather than starting to cover up and say, well, these complementary alternative things that aren't in the mainstream can't be any good because there's no research, they haven't been studied. How the hell would they know if they didn't study it themselves? Just because you're not a doctor and you're exploring things on the internet doesn't mean that you can't interpret some of that information and bring up very useful approaches to treating your condition.
And many people that get defensive have a tendency to think that anything that's different than what they know and the way that they've been trained is wrong.
Exactly. I look at a good physician, a good healer, a good healthcare practitioner is someone who will look beyond the boundaries of where their training stopped, particularly when you have an epidemic of chronic diseases and nobody has solved them. Maybe what we need to do is start thinking about other approaches that go beyond where our training stopped and integrate them, if we can, into creating an approach that might make the most sense and include the patient and their family and their spiritual counselors and their financial managers in making those decisions.
Well, the other thing is, too, there are a lot of sensitive health topics that can come up, and you want a doctor that's good at being able to talk about things like that. And one of the examples that they gave in this article was really awful about this elderly minister that was in the hospital, and his wife and some parishioners were there visiting him when this doctor comes in and said, oh, the reason that you have these symptoms is because your syphilis test came back positive.
Oh my God, there's judgment.
It's like judgment or common
sense. There's nothing
sense.
Like being right. You know, some people just have to be right, and it's about facts. And healing isn't about facts. Healing is about relationship and understanding what's gone wrong and looking for ways to go beyond where you are and to try to create strategies that are built on listening and caring about information for sure, about extending the boundaries past where your discipline starts and others take on. And that's why I started the Health Medicine Forum back in 1994, which was an organization of healthcare practitioners from many different disciplines looking for ways to work together, because it was obvious to me that we didn't have a solution to all the chronic diseases that we faced. None of them had a solution, or they wouldn't be epidemics. So it behooves us to try and find the information that we can collect together and see if we can experience new ways of dealing with those problems. Anyway, you're listening to Prescriptions for Health. I'm Dr. Len Saputo here with Nurse Vicki. The number is 888-874-4888, and we'll be back taking your calls after Vicki's final 2020 tip.
I have a sweet poem here on slowing down to smell the roses. Have you ever watched kids playing on a merry-go-round or listened to the rain lapping on the ground? Ever followed a butterfly's erratic flight or gazed at the sun into the fading night? Do you run through each day on the fly? When you ask, how are you? Do you hear the reply? And when the day is done, do you lie in your bed with the next 100 chores running through your head? Ever told your child, we'll do it tomorrow, and in your haste, not seeing his sorrow? Ever lost touch? Let a good friendship die? Just call to say hi? When you worry and hurry through your day, it's like an unopened gift thrown away. Life is not a race. Take it slower. Hear the music before the song is over.
Yeah.
You know, being present and nurturing our friendships and taking care of those that we love is just as important, I think, as eating a healthy diet, exercising, and getting enough sleep and reducing our stress. So make relationships and being present and taking time to be thankful priorities in this life.
Absolutely. That's beautiful, Vicki. It's about realizing why we're here. It's not to generate tons of money. It's not to have a lot of power. It's about loving one another. It's about being present. It's about being in the moment. It's being able to focus on where you are. Ever watch a child, a 3 or 4 year old child, is looking at a flower for the first time and it's got a bee on it, and it's just intensely looking at that, exploring every little aspect of the color and the texture and the bee and what it's doing. And you talk to the child, it's time for lunch. They don't even hear you. They're so engrossed in the moment. And that's what we lose as we age. And we forget about being present. We forget about experiencing and noticing what's happening. And then we start doing things like getting over-focused on our jobs, which maybe we like or don't like, or having other responsibilities that we look at as things we're supposed to do. If we're really in touch with who we are and we're authentic with that, which means not afraid to act on the feelings that we have, if we will do that, we'll be getting what we were put on this planet to do, which is to experience life, watch it unfold, notice it, get engaged with it, be part of it. There is a oneness about the universe if we'll allow it to unfold and see that it's there. It's too easy to get in a rat race where we're just trying to make money or just trying to buy that new car or just wanting to buy that boat or that second house. That's not where it is, and we have to remember that. The number here is 888-874-4888. I'm Dr. Len Saputo here with Nurse Vicki.
You know, many times studies differ, and recently doctors admitted that chiropractors were or chiropractic care was more effective for low back pain than medical care.
Sure.
And now the doctors, MDs, are claiming that spinal manipulation of the neck for headaches may not be effective and may cause strokes. I told this to my chiropractor.
Were you mad at him or what?
He just about had a fit. He says, that's because naturopaths and massage therapists and doctors and other people are trying to do these manipulations and they don't know what they're doing.
I
you know?
See.
He says, that's about as common as playing golf and getting hit by lightning.
Yeah, well, he's got a point. That's right.
But what's going on? I mean, one week they say that it's good, and then the next week they say that it's not.
It's a turf war, Vicki. It's about money. It's about how can I get more
business. Well, the MDs are loaded with patients. They have more than they can take care of anyway. What are they worried about? Share.
Well, maybe it's their arrogance of wanting to be number one. And, you know, if you think you're number one and you've got a system that's financially a disaster that is not sustainable, and that you've got more than 50% of America with a chronic disease, and you're using treatments that basically do in 1 million people a year, I mean, hello, we need to do a little bit of work and keep an open mind. And when it comes to chiropractic, I mean, these people go to school a long time. They take many of the same courses that we doctors do.
And also studies show that they're in favor of spinal manipulation.
I am. I'm happy to have my chiropractor adjust my alignment.
Me too.
When my alignment is off, I hurt someplace usually. And the question is, why did I get that way? So I'm happy to go see my Dr. Bruce. I think he's fantastic. And fortunately, we work together. So he's there at least once a week. And so I get a chance to, you know, if something's not right, say, hey, Bruce, do you think you can see me over the lunch hour and, you know, work on me for 10 or 15 minutes? And he does. And I usually feel a lot better. And, you know, I haven't had a stroke yet, nor have I heard of anybody in my practice having a stroke from a chiropractic manipulation.
Well, a lot less than people that get strokes from taking medications.
That's for sure. I mean, you look at some of the things. I mean, just look at the nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory drugs that kill 30,000 people a year and put 300,000 people a year. Let's clean up that kitchen before we start intruding on the kitchen of other people who don't have anywhere near that kind of a record.
But anyway, there are a lot of causes for headaches. And some of the causes are neck strain and malalignment.
So I'd say the bulk of them are.
So that's a good time to get a chiropractic adjustment.
If you use a combination of a chiropractor and infrared light therapy, it's very unusual to not get rid of a headache and keep it gone for months to years following a short treatment course. It's that easy. You can't sustain getting rid of a headache unless you have proper alignment, particularly if it's in the neck. And the infrared light therapy that we use is the most powerful treatment that I've seen. It's rare for a headache not to be gone in 5 minutes.
Without any negative side effects.
No side effects, no problems. And maybe one treatment isn't enough, but three or four or five, or maybe even six or seven that are, you know, 5 or 10 or 15 minute treatments combined with a good chiropractor does magic.
Well, anyway, there are many causes for headaches, and we could, you know, list them. There's a long list of causes for headaches, but a lot of them are misdiagnosed as migraines.
I'll say. I mean, as long as you have a severe headache and it happens to be on one side and maybe you're nauseated, people say, oh, you have migraine. I don't care what you call it, but I will tell you that the triggers in the neck that are present in people who are having severe headaches are very, very common. I'd say 90% of people that I see have a trigger in their neck. Usually it's behind the ear, and if you press back there, it's tender. And generally, people have frontal and temporal headaches. So in the front and sides of their head, they're having headaches. But if you treat the alignment with a good chiropractic adjustment and you use infrared light therapy, I can almost guarantee in my experience that that headache is going to be gone.
Well, the anatomy of some of this is that these muscles are all interconnected and they expand up over the head from the neck and the upper shoulders and so forth.
There are also referrals of pain, just like with an appendix. It may be inside your belly, but it's referred to the right lower quadrant. Things like that are what happened by the body. And when you know that and you take that into account and you find treatments that can effectively relax the areas that are causing the problem, you're going to be very successful. That happens in a lot of things. People, for example, who have sciatica, okay, the low back pain and pain going down one leg or the other to the foot, you can treat the back to get rid of the sciatica. You treat the foot. It's not going to touch it at all if you're doing either chiropractic or you're doing infrared light therapy.
Yeah, because you need to get at the cause of it.
Yeah, and I don't mean to say that these are the only ways to treat headaches. I mean, there's acupuncture, there's body work, there are all kinds of
other balancing therapies like Pilates and gyrotonic, and I mean the list goes
on. I had a headache
on
one day when I went to the physical therapist, and he iced the muscles on the side of my neck. You know, the sternocleidomastoid.
Well, they get tight too and refer pain,
and that helped the headache.
Sure.
He said a lot of times it's good to start distally and then work up to where the pain. You know, where you're experiencing the pain.
Yeah, well,
you know, sometimes
right.
people get headaches from alcohol hangovers or caffeine withdrawal or allergies or
those
sinus infections, eye or problems or eye strain.
A lot of medication withdrawal is included in that, too. And if you go to the headache clinics, most people that are there are addicted to their medicines. And when they try to withdraw it, they have symptoms. But my point I'm trying to make here is that I think those clinics are absolutely on the wrong track. You don't need drugs most of the time, and if you will do the simple things I'm talking about with a chiropractor, a little infrared light therapy, maybe some acupuncture and some body work, you're going to do much better than using toxic drugs that almost always have side effects that are very addicting that will cause withdrawal symptoms. And it's not to say that that works on all headaches. It doesn't. Some people who have true migraine or vascular headaches, you need to do the drugs. There are few headaches that you can't fix without doing the drugs.
And sometimes there are serious reasons for having headaches, like if you have a tumor
or
if you're having a stroke.
You bet.
So it's nice to know the difference.
Well, you need to have an open mind, okay, about what's going on. You need a doctor, even more importantly, that has an open mind, that uses a lot of different strategies. Well, and there's a lot of pressure on doctors to stay within the domain of their expertise, meaning if they learn how to do it one way and they're not the big expert in it, send them to the headache clinic or send them to the neurologist or something like that. And I think that what we need is a more balanced, integrative approach where we look at many different ways that we can affect how someone feels from an illness that they have. And nearly always that integrative approach is going to be superior to any one narrow thing, whether it be mainstream or it be complementary and alternative.
And if you have a headache, it's probably a good idea to listen to your body and lie down and take a little rest instead of trying
to
pop a pill and keep going. And,
exactly.
You know, there are other things, too, like acupuncture and DMSO.
DMSO is a wonderful thing.
And there are some herbs, some homeopathic remedies, too.
Fever,
and
sure.
There's ginger, yeah. And meditation sometimes is helpful. And Reiki can be helpful, which is a type of energy healing. Sometimes ultrasound
sure.
is helpful.
Biofeedback is another one that's great.
Yeah, that's another
I love the idea of looking at the cause. See, you're not just getting a headache out of thin air. There's always a reason why you have every symptom you have. And if you're just there with a silver bullet, whether it be a medicine or some technology, you're not dealing with the underlying problem that was there. And the goal of every healer is to go to find that underlying cause. And it's not an easy task to undertake because we're hardly ever trained to be able to do that. And that's why having that integrative team there that does all these things that they can do collectively is the best approach you can take. I find that a lot of the time what happens is people get sick because of what happened in childhood. They've got this post-traumatic stress syndrome because, I mean, how many families are functional? I mean, they're almost all dysfunctional to some extent. And to see people who have been emotionally, physically, sexually abused come through without some kind of problem when they're as they go through life, it's a surprise. It would be the exception, not the rule, for someone just to discard that and move on. We pay a price for what happens there, and we have to go back and reparent ourselves sometimes and find ways of allowing our little child to come out and play and to be able to do the things that feel right for it, rather than having our judge there saying, no, you can't do that, you can't be trusted. And that's what happens when we have all this dysfunctional behavior that we learn when we're kids. So I find people have ulcers and osteoarthritis and heart attacks and strokes and hypertension and diabetes and inability to sleep. These are all things that have a deep psychological origin so often, and we need to pay attention to that.
So what do you, the number here at Prescriptions for Health, if you have any questions about your health, is 888-874-4888. That's 874-4888. So what do you think about the old osteoporosis drug Aridia being used as an alternative to flu shots? I mean, this sounds like a stretch to me. How does Aridia boost immunity?
This is just a wonderful example of showing you how pathetic what we do in healthcare is sometimes.
Nobody knows what they're doing.
No. How could you know what you're doing when you've got a drug that's made to make bones get more dense, actually turn out to have effects on the immune system that are profound, and you never had a clue when you did it? It's sort of like the drug, okay, that was used for hypertension that is now used for what? Treating baldness.
Oh, Rogaine.
I mean, hello. I mean, This convinces me beyond any doubt that we don't look deeply enough into what we do biochemically when we come up with new things. You look at a drug like Aridia, and I mean, there are a lot of reasons why not to use a bisphosphonate drug, which that is. In fact, I don't use them in my practice at all.
Like Beneva and Fosamax
and Actonel.
I
don't use any of them. I think it's malpractice to do that when you know all the bad things it does. I don't even use the drug in cancer with people who have bone metastases, because I feel that the risk of osteonecrosis of the jaw is somewhere around 7% with that. And let me tell you, when your jaw starts to disintegrate and you're having pain and you can't fix it,
and your teeth are falling out,
it's a big deal. Not to mention the atrial fibrillation, the severe constipation, the ulcers that are caused because it causes esophagitis, and several other problems, sometimes even fractures of long bones. You got to have a lot of courage to prescribe drugs like that when you can use natural things like vitamin D and vitamin K and strontium, and you can use exercise and other lifestyle strategies, when you can improve on sleep, because we know that when you don't sleep, your cortisol levels go up and you have a problem, or you want to get off your Coumadin or your Dilantin or some of the other drugs that we know cause bone loss. Your birth control pills, we've talked about that before, actually cause a certain amount of bone loss and tend to cause osteoporosis. Our system of dealing with healthcare problems is so complicated that it's beyond the ability of almost all doctors to be able to practice healthcare safely and to be oriented enough to be looking at the cause for why things went wrong in the first place. That's the real problem with the practice of medicine. It's not that it doesn't do some unbelievably great things. It's not like it doesn't have great value. And you'd have to be a moron to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But it is never going to be, never has been, and never should be primary care. I want the naturopaths and the chiropractors and people who are doing Chinese medicine or some other discipline, Native American medicine, I don't care what it is, to be the first line of defense. Because these are the people who are teaching lifestyle. They're teaching us how we fit in with the planet that we live on and how we should respect it and not pollute it and not do the terrible things that we do to make our planet what it is today. Why do you think a lot of what's going on is happening? It's because we're not in touch with it. We're not in communication with it. We don't have the respect that we need to have to be able to live in communion with nature, rather than having it be something that we pillage and try to make economic gains for without thinking about the future of the planet or the future of the people living here.
Well, so what do you think about Aridia for boosting T cells to boost immunity for the flu?
Oh, my God. I mean, that's something you could do. But when you've got vitamin D and you've got vitamin C,
talking mushrooms.
Yeah, all these other things we can do. I don't think I'd be relying on Aridia. Now, if there was a real swine flu epidemic, not the BS that was purported to be one from before, I might give that some thought if all the other measures fail. Because taking Aridia for a week is not going to do all the things that taking Aridia for years is going to do. And I might give that some consideration. You don't want to be arrogant and close your mind to what medicines can do as well, even if they have side effects, which we expect.
And if you want to learn more about it, you can go to drsaputo.com and go to the radio section on the homepage, click that, and then you want to click on Fast Track Radio, and you'll see we talk about this Aridia killing flu viruses
in more detail.
In video on the radio.
Yeah, another thing you might want to look at is Vicky's Quarter. Vicky has a lot of information about safe cosmetics products and household cleaning agents, and I'd say she's a world-class expert at that. And most of the information that's there is free, so go test out the website, see what it's like, and see if it's something that you want to explore some more.
Especially at this time of year, you might want to check out the section on sunscreens.
Yeah, and there's also a whole 45-minute video that we just made last week talking about the Fukushima disaster. And there I'm interviewing somebody who's a nuclear physicist for that whole time, and lots of interesting questions have come up. In fact, you might want to go to our blog on drsaputo.com, because there was one person who's a nuclear physicist that sent in a complaint and said, well, you didn't look at this, that, and the other. Well, we did, and we posted an answer. And sometimes it's kind of fun just to kind of explore and see some of the things that are on the blog. So I want to thank you for joining us. We'd like to remind you that we'll be back live to talk to you about
what's new in the news and health,
and to take your health care questions every Monday afternoon on PRN.com radio and drsaputo.com from 3 to 4 Eastern Standard Time and 12 to 1 Pacific Standard Time. They'll also be archived on drsaputo.com.
And remember, lifestyle is the most powerful healer in the universe. So if you want to be well, pay attention to the style in which you live your life.
Amen.